Well, welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, Resume Update 2012. Here we go. All right, Mark, this is a little bit different. We're sitting here at Shutters on the Beach in, where are we?
Santa Monica, California, just north of Venice Beach.
Overlooking the ocean and the Santa Monica Pier and watching
the
people.
The Ferris wheel.
Yeah. The Ferris wheel. It's a very nice Ferris wheel, by the way.
Yeah.
People walking up and down. So, folks, we only say this all, so no, we're outside recording. You're going to hear some background noise. We apologize, but we're traveling with a client and, we got to do to get it out.
Yeah, so we could do this in my room upstairs on the fourth floor, but Mike happened to get an expanded room on the first floor with a balcony, and people are walking by on the boardwalk below. So you'll hear some background noise, and hopefully you don't mind. We get a chance to record in a nice setting and enjoy it.
There we go. So today, finally, I mean, I've been waiting for this. We've been pretty much singing the same tune for the last 7 years, as long as we've been recording.
About
resumes, right?
Yeah.
And here we're going to do a resume update in 2012. And finally, we're going to change our tune. We're going to completely redo it. The one-page resume is gone. Whoa. It's gone. Now it's the 10-page resume.
What is this wee stuff, Kimisabe? our resume guide. Folks, we're going to update you about resumes in the modern world, 2012. We do this every year. But don't kid yourself. The fundamental principles still apply. And it's the same every time.
Same boring.
One page.
Simple.
Your name at the top. Contact information below that. Very quickly into a reverse chronological ordering of the jobs you've had, what companies you've worked for, and your responsibilities in a prose paragraph followed by accomplishment bullets. That is not going to change anytime soon. We've talked about video before. We have people say, what about video? What about audio? What about something creative? No. Okay. What about multi-pages resume? I was just in Sydney, Australia with Danny, and people, multi-page resumes don't work here. And yet, I was at the New Zealand meetup, and somebody came up to me, gave me a thank you note, and said, I want you to know, I went to single-page resume, and I'm the one person of my friends who's gotten a job in the last 3 months.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
that guidance hasn't changed, but there are some other things that we do need to update people on. The first one is, guys, stop worrying about the fact that in the last 2 years, the economy hasn't given you a chance to hit any home runs. Nobody has any great accomplishments for the last 18 months. Or let's put it this way. Some people do. The vast majority of people are struggling with what amount to bland accomplishments, and no one's going to ding you for that. Okay? It's fine. Okay? You can only put down accomplishments that you can put down, that you actually did. And so you put down the best stuff you got. Okay? The next thing, we're going to recommend you look for personal and professional efficiencies. And last 2 points are look for increases in profitability, and right on the heels of that, of course, one of the ways to increase profitability when sales are flat is to reduce costs. And as Peter Drucker has told us over and over and over again, you don't control costs, you cut costs.
Right.
It's one of the smartest things Drucker ever said, and we'll talk about it.
Right. And if sales, it's not only just one of the ways to increase profitability. If sales are flat, it's the only way to increase profitability.
Very good point.
Reducing costs. Yeah.
And I think too often there are plenty of people in organizations who say, well, sales are flat. Well, okay, maybe they were last month, this month. But your job, if you're in a role that has the possibility to create revenue, is to figure out how to increase them. But if they don't increase, the one thing you can do is cut costs. And relatedly, if you cut costs and revenues increase, your margins get really good really fast.
Well, that's the great thing about it, right? Yeah. It not only impacts the bottom line right now, but it just...
Yeah, how many times have we seen the look of surprise on people's faces when we say, have you noticed that a company improves their revenues by 7%, but their stock market gets hammered? And guys, if you don't know why that is, it's because revenues went up by 7%, but profits only went up by 4%. Meaning, you're growing faster, but the overall margins of your business, the profit that drives the ability to invest future capital, have gone down. And while that's generally true, it's harder at a bigger company to maintain the same profitability levels. That's why small companies tend to be very profitable compared to bigger companies. While that generally is true, Wall Street or the bourse or wherever you are, the stock market, still wants growth with the same margin.
Right. all things being equal, they'd love to see that.
Which they never are.
Which they never are. So, okay, so let's talk about the last 18 months. I mean, you'd have to admit, right, that the last 18 months has been hard in every industry, in every country. It's been tough all the way around. And some folks, they're worried right now because they don't have any big accomplishments. Yeah. They don't have the, you know, doubled revenues or those kind of things they like to have.
Yeah, I think there are some counter-cyclical industries that have been benefiting, and they've made some great numbers. I think about our friends out in Kalgoorlie in Australia, where they're mining stuff and shipping it to China, and their revenues are great, and they've been trying to keep costs down, and so we end up with...
It's unusual. There's some of those, but the vast majority
speaking,
of folks.
Revenues have been flat or down, frankly, and margins have been pressured. And as you said, people are working hard, and they're getting the same results.
Right. And costs have, in a lot of industry, costs have gone up, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So look, guys, the first point we want to make is don't let your lack of accomplishments for the last 18 months worry you. First of all, worry doesn't help. I'll say it again. Okay, I know it's old-fashioned, but it works. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Okay? Second, you're not alone. I'll never forget being at Harvard and... the guy saying, "Well, you know, why should I listen to you? I'm going to be a Harvard MBA. Yeah, and you and 600 other people that are graduating the same time as you. Right. How are you going to differentiate yourself?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you're smart.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So look, you're not alone, guys. Okay. The rest of the economy, for the most part, the vast majority of people's resumes have stagnated. Okay. And it's possible that you do have some good accomplishments. You just haven't thought about the way you've been working." As potential accomplishment drivers, and we'll talk about that. But here's the thing, guys. It doesn't matter. Whatever's happened in the last 2 years, the idea that everybody else is doing great and you're not, surely you know that's not true, right? You have friends who are still out of work and so on. But there's something more important. It doesn't matter how good or bad your last 2 years are, whether they're bad or average or good. The only question is, what do you have?
Right.
Right? And if you're saying, this is what I got, and then you're sitting around worrying that somebody else has better, well, I promise you, I can find somebody who has a better background than you. I promise you. If your job, if your head is telling you, I got to worry about the guy who's had a good experience and I haven't in the last couple of years, dude, we can find somebody like that every day. Compare yourself to Neil Armstrong, rest in peace, right? You don't have his resume.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, I think too many people, in fact, I told a group this, I can't remember where I was, last week or the week before, I said, guys, look, it doesn't do any good to compare yourself a lot better than somebody else. People go through these career searches, and there are some people who have their search as half empty, and they think everything's going to be bad. And other people with the exact same background as them have a half full mentality, and they end up turning up something good. You can't do anything about the last 2 years other than put the best resume accomplishments together that you can and leave it at that.
Right.
The fact that there's somebody better than you, well, hell.
That's always true.
Yeah, it's always true. Yeah. So let it go, guys. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Work hard on the resume. Don't sit around worrying about how bad your accomplishments have been and then put together a crap resume. Work hard on your resume and do everything you can with it and then be at peace about it.
That's
right. You got to learn to be at peace about things, folks.
And anyway, even when there's a bad economy and things aren't going well in many industries and in many countries, there are things you can do. And hopefully, folks, you've been listening to Career Tools and Manager Tools and you've been doing some of the things. One of the things you can do is focus on personal efficiencies. And the fact is, doing more with less is an accomplishment and well worth talking about on your resume, particularly in bad times.
Yeah, if you made 50% more sales calls this year, even if you didn't make any more sales, you increased your personal efficiency. It sounds funny. You made more sales calls, and so technically your dollars or revenue or margins per sales went down, but you increased your efficiency in that you figured out how to increase the total volume of potential future sales. If you've established a new standard where you make 150 rather than just 100 sales calls a year, next year when you make another 150 and the market returns, that's going to be a notably better return for you, right? And now is the time to be doing that.
And 50% improvement. I don't care what you're talking about. 50% improvement sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Particularly in a time frame where an economy where the 50% improvement in anything just seems.
Yeah. I tell people that your search, you don't have an average search. Whatever they're reporting is the average, and you're not average. It reminds me of David Ogilvy's comment, consumers are statistics and customers are people. The market doesn't exist for you as an individual. You're such a small part of the market. The market trends don't matter. The question is where you are and what are you doing, mm-hmm. how are you doing better? Do you own the interviewing series? Are you practicing? Are you doing audio tape? Are you doing videotape? I mean, the number of people I talk to who get the interviewing series and then say, well, I didn't have time to do the video. I didn't have time to do the audio. I'm like, geez, I want to compete with you for a job because I'm going to get it. And you're not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Think about it this way. If you increased your sales by 50% this year, your sales calls by 50%, and your sales were flat, okay, what would that mean compared to a lot less sales calls?
Yeah, good point.
In other words, the sales, the same number of sales calls as last year, you would have had less sales. In other words, you changed your personal productivity in order to keep sales flat, to reduce a decline in sales.
And sometimes flat sales in an economy like this, sometimes in some industries, that's a good thing. There are many industries out there and many companies out there who would love to have flat sales.
Yeah. If you'd have kept your personal efficiency where it was, whatever you want to describe personal efficiency, you'd have had less sales, and that's just a no-brainer. If you achieved the same results as last year, but you didn't have any overtime, then you increased your personal efficiency by the percentage of the difference in hours of overtime you paid last year, okay, or were paid. An accomplishment could be, you could put down, achieved X result in blank percent less hours year over year by increasing personal efficiency. Okay? If you increased your knowledge to the benefit of the company by cross-training, self-paced learning, reading a book, that could hypothetically be an accomplishment. The increased knowledge in and of itself is not an accomplishment that belongs in your resume, but the application of it to the benefit of the company is something that could go on your resume. For example, reduced time to compile 5%. By learning and applying new techniques.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, we talked about reducing costs, right? So one of the things you can look for is increases in profitability. Where the company has gains in efficiency, but revenue stays the same,
profitability
goes up.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good thing.
If a product currently costs $8 to make and ship, and the customer pays $10, profits $2. And if you investigate using packing peanuts instead of bubble wrap, you're looking for ways to save money. And you use if you use peanuts instead of bubble wrap for packing, and that reduces the cost of making and shipping by 50 cents, there's a requisite 50 cent increase in profitability. There's nothing wrong with that at all. In the same way, if you work out a way to do work on a product faster, that increases profitability because the labor cost per unit goes down. If you can work out a way to get more people in a room for a seminar, revenue increases and the profitability of that seminar increases. Our market's we've been growing, thankfully.
Yes.
I think it's a function of our newness to some degree and the install base and so on. But look, I think we've talked about it. We may have talked about it on a podcast. Danny came up with the idea. So look, we need to figure out a way to save money. Well, we pay $1,000, $2,000 a conference for renting LCD projectors. We always rented a projector because, in our mind, we had a set of assumptions, which is, we don't want to buy one. That'll tie up some cash. We don't want to ship them. There's risk of shipping, of loss. And we're not sure they'd be powerful enough for the room. The ones we could buy off the shelf, we thought would be too small,
right, not
powerful.
Exactly right. We were wrong.
We were completely wrong. And the reason we
might have been, right 7 years ago. We're wrong now.
And the only reason we looked at it is, let's look at ways where we can be more profitable with existing revenue. So what we did was say, let's examine what our costs are. We look at the costs and we say, okay, there's a couple of $1,000 every conference for a projector just for rental. And those of you who know, the projectors you get rented at some hotels, not high-end hotels, but most of the hotels we stay at, the projectors aren't that great. They're big and bulky and old.
And they charge you a lot of money.
They charge you a ton of money for it.
Well, that's crazy.
So we discovered that projectors were about $350. They had all the lumens we needed. We had rooms in the tubs we shipped to all the hotels to put another projector in there. We discovered that with a little bit of padding, we didn't have any shipping risk. And suddenly, we bought a couple of projectors for a total of $700, which was less than what we rented one for one day at one location. And we're going to save $20,000 or $30,000 this year.
And then,
if revenues stay flat and we save $20,000 or $30,000, our profit just went up by $20,000 or $30,000.
Right. And then we discovered, if we can save money then let's look at the sound system. We rented a sound system so we could pipe in music and that kind of stuff during breaks and all that.
Right.
And so we bought... What did we pay? $300 for this jam box?
This
is a very cool device.
Yeah.
And we're going to save another several thousand dollars a year just by buying this small little thing that we can put in the box.
Even if it breaks every 6 months and we have to buy
a new
one,
we'll still make money.
We're still ahead. And when the market picks up, our margins will be higher as the market increases.
Oh, you mean we're not going to go back to the expensive
hotel solution? No, I don't think we will.
Hotel solution?
No, we're not going to do that.
We're not going to go back to the hotel provided
I mean, you could if you were. If you forced me as the CEO of the company, I might say yes, sir. But
so the savings
not so much.
That we kind of force ourselves to find, right, in bad times. I mean, we're going to have those forever?
Forever, I think that's the word. Yeah. It's a high I word, ever.
Yeah.
Look, if you manage inventory more closely, okay, you can lead to increased profitability if you can reduce the amount of space that the inventory takes and use that space for someone else, for something else. Okay, there's all kinds of ways to increase profitability and thinking about what are our costs. And not because you want to control them, but because you want to cut them. And there are ways to look at spending $300 now to save $2,000 next week and $2,000 the week after that and $2,000 the week after that. It's a no-brainer, even for a company as small as us.
Exactly. So our next one, we just kind of talked about, is looking for money saved, right? I mean, accomplishments are not only about increasing the revenue. Reduction in cost are equally important. And in tough times, they're more important. That's what folks are looking for.
Yeah, if you've been able to reduce costs in your team, then that's an obvious accomplishment, okay? For example, reduce cost of stationery 5% by negotiating improved pricing with 3 suppliers, okay? You wouldn't do that if you're an individual manager and your stationery cost is $100 a quarter, okay? But I would have it in my career management document and then in some situations consider having something like that in there to show I reduce costs. When the market heats back up, what companies want to avoid, even though they don't avoid it very well, is the gradual or accelerating ramp up in costs.
Right.
They want to try to keep costs down as revenues increase so that the margins get larger sooner. And then as costs creep up, there's a bigger gap between revenue and profitability long term. Yeah. Example. Avoided $30,000 increased cost by maintaining use of third-generation servers while retaining 99.999% uptime. Uptime, if you can increase uptime by 0.009%, that's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I think a lot of people sit around and worry about the market, and what they should be doing is looking at costs, looking at personal efficiencies, looking at ways of making the firm more profitable. Now, you don't go around trumpeting all these things internally. You simply drive down every cost you possibly can. I'll give you the perfect example. I tell you what, it's about 10 years ago, I was working for our friend in DC, the consulting firm. I was consulting to him. And I went in one day, and it was kind of like there was a buzz in the office. So I said to this guy, I said, dude, what's up? And he says, oh, they took away donuts and coffee. We have to buy our own coffee. I'm like, oh, okay. He says, you don't seem surprised. I said, no. It's a nice benefit, but it's not the end of the world. A lot of people in the world are really happy with the job, and they don't have coffee. He says, well, people like the donuts and the coffee. I said, yeah, okay. So two choices. Tell people to shut the heck up, right? Okay, it's donuts. It's coffee, right? We're looking for all the costs we possibly can because we don't want to cut salary costs. We could save a lot more money by getting rid of a couple people, but that's not only probably easier, it's harder on people, it'll suppress everybody else's productivity, and in the long run, we'll lose that person's productivity in the future, right, because we won't be able to hire them back. And they said, yeah, and I said, dude, you make good enough money, you buy the donuts, rotate among the executives who buys the donuts. Oh, well, I never thought about that. I said, well, do you want them to have donuts or not? No, what I want is for the company to pay for it.
All right, well
okay, sorry. So
I want a Ferrari too, and I don't have one.
I went and bought donuts. And they're like, oh, you're trying to show me up? No, I'm not trying to show you up. You said people wanted the donuts. So I had the guy come in and bring the donuts. Then somebody said, oh, well, horseman bottom, and, you know, they're not going to go away. I said, look, I'm here all next week. I'll buy them every day next week.
The return on investment in a box of donuts is astronomical. I can't think of actually anything you could buy more that has a greater return on investment than a box of donuts.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I got to tell you, I think that I'm probably in the minority here. I'm not going to fall on my sword about this. I certainly respect that everybody's tightening belts at home as well. But if my company was providing donuts once a week and the company said, we're not going to do that anymore and we can save $100,000 across the company every year by not buying donuts, I'd say, okay, I'll pick up the donuts on Wednesday every week.
Yeah.
I'll just pay for them.
Yeah, no donuts across the company, and we save one person's job.
Yeah.
Everybody in your organization would go, okay, I'll go without
I'm
donuts.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So that's it. I mean, the fundamental basics are still in place. One page. You build a career management document. You review it every quarter. You add bullets to it, knowing full well that it might be 2 or 3 or 4 pages, but then you take from that the best one-page resume you can for company A and a different one-page resume for company B when you start your search. And those standard one-page resumes, we have a podcast, Your Resume Stinks. It's very popular. Please download it. It'll explain exactly how to do it for free. You can buy the resume workbook, I think, for $25.95 or something like that.
Somewhere
it's
there.
12 or 20. I think it's maybe 25 pages. Step by step, every single thing, exactly what Wendy looks at when she reviews a resume. And it is line by line, do this, the way
manager
tools and career tools always are. And then we also have the resume review service for $400, which, guys, we're happy to do that for you, but really, we used to charge a lot less
money.
Just
buy the resume workbook for a fraction of the price and do it.
And do it yourself. Just do it. It is dead simple, no-brainer simple. And we want you to be able to save your money right now. Yeah, we have good services, and the resume workbook is there for 99.999% of you. So don't worry about your accomplishments the last 18 months. Look for personal efficiencies. Look for profitability issues, and talk about the cost you save. If you're not careful, you'll begin to believe that you have no accomplishments because things have felt flat and the economy's been bad for a couple of years. Change your focus. Look differently at it and say, there's been stuff I've been doing, and the sales have been flat, but our margins are still good because I've looked at ways to cut costs or to keep costs from increasing. That's the way to do it. Be proactive about it. See the world as half full rather than half empty. You'll be a lot better off.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Thanks.
You bet, partner.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. That's it.
We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.